Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece.
It's the rap. Hip hop. The rap.
They can't stop us. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D. and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10, bringing voices to power. Bringing voices to power.
All right, everyone, I'd like to welcome you to the show this Thursday evening. I apologize for some of the technical difficulties that we have been having this week and the last couple of weeks. It seems the man doesn't want us to be on the radio this evening. We will have a guest that will come on and speak to us about the conditions of the Jackson County, Alabama judicial court system. The problem they have going over there in Jackson County is that the judges and the lawyers own the court referral, the drug court referral, and the rehab clinics that they end up sending their clients to. Clients being those people who are given charges for drug possession, or having any kind of drugs in their system, or in the case of the story that we would like to present this evening is this young man had no drug charges on him. he had a simple misunderstanding with some paperwork about the ownership of a motorcycle that was cleaned up. The bank was happy. The courts was happy. Everybody was happy. And then, unfortunately, the lawyer that represented this young man is a financial owner of a rehab center that this young man just yesterday was sent to for upwards of a year or more. It's a game that is being played in Jackson County, Alabama. It's a game that has been played for many years. The people that are involved are just like you and I. They have done nothing wrong oftentimes except perhaps being late paying a bill. Oftentimes, sometimes they can't pay a garbage or water or light bill, and they find themselves given a drug court referral, which is called color code here in the state of Alabama. And when your color is called, you show up and you hand them money to piss in a cup. You were unable to pay a light bill, and now you get to piss in a cup here in Jackson County, Alabama. So I'd like to bring on our guests, if there's any guests that are on the line right now. Our caller is not going to announce her name for security reasons. This is an ongoing investigation that I am involved with and other people in this state are taking a look at. So the guest is going to stay anonymous, but this guest is known to me. So if there's anyone on the line, I'd like to bring them on and allow this guest to present their story into what has happened to them personally in Jackson County, Alabama.
Thank you very much, Sherry. I appreciate your introduction. And been dealing with this for quite some time. Like we say, there's never been a drug charge. I've been assigned a color code now for almost a year and a half. Still no drug charges. And as it was said earlier, there was a motorcycle purchased, and came out to find out the VIN came back that it was a stolen motorcycle because, and I got all that straightened out, but I had to go all the way through the judicial system. We couldn't go and file a report against the person that sold the motorcycle. Theft by deception, we were denied by the sheriff, Chuck Phillips, and DA, Jason Pierce, that we were to battle it out in court. So that was battled out, and of course it was thrown out. But he had two other charges, still no drug charges. It was a reckless endangerment because the officer wouldn't slow down for him to stop. Therefore, he wrecked, ended up in the hospital. After he was released from the hospital, he turned himself in, had to stay incarcerated for quite some time, costed me over $2,200 just to feed him while he was incarcerated for 60 days. Not only that, it's like, he was forced to go into a rehab. Still no drug charges. Yes, depression does make people dabble in things that they shouldn't, but still when you don't have an addiction and you're forced to do, color code, it's $100 a month. $10 of that goes to the county commissioner's office. There is several hundred people on color code, some for not being able to pay their garbage bill, traffic violations, not being able to pay your fines at the courthouse. You are put on color code until your fines are paid. So I paid all the fines, almost $1,800 in August, and therefore the defendant was supposed to be on unsupervised probation, out putting out applications, and apparently he failed a drug test the same day that he was putting out applications. Anybody with common sense would know you wouldn't be going and putting in applications if you knew you were going to fail a drug test. So we go on from there, and then there's a march that happens around the courthouse, and there was retaliation to some people that was marching around the courthouse. And the court referral people had sent someone up there to purchase a sign, and the ones that were marching just gave them the sign. They took it back, and while we were sitting in the office, they were making jokes about it. When we fail a drug test, let's march around the courthouse. Very concerned if you're recording them in their facility, but they have video cameras all in their facility at the color code court referral. And I'm like, I'm not videoing, but you are, and why does it matter if you don't have anything to hide? Being watched very closely every time I leave my home. Just having to look over your shoulder, knowing you're not breaking the laws, and because you want to speak up and bring it to the light that they're going to retaliate one way or the other. They think that...
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, let me step in, and some of our callers may not understand the complexities of his case, so I'll make it short and sweet. What happened was that a young man was on his motorcycle. He was speeding. He was speeding to get away from the sheriff's deputy that was butting him in the back with his police car. Witnesses throughout the scene of the accident as it culminated with this young man wrecking his motorcycle into a ditch, where then they charged him with having stolen property that was later cleared up in court. So the young man initially started out with what was going to be a speeding ticket. The police officer felt like he needed to butt the young man, hit him with his car, caused a motorcycle crash. Subsequently, they decided that this motorcycle, because of a VIN number that was had questions about it until that could be cleared in court, it culminated in this young man ultimately spending up to a year, if not more, in a rehab facility. He left just this week for that rehab facility. The lawyer that represented him, folks, is a financial owner of the rehab clinic. So it was in his best interest to advise and create the environment where his client, who had no drug charges, but what was to be a speeding ticket sent to drug rehab. The person on the line is the caregiver, the mother of this young man. The story coming out of Jackson County, folks, is one that it's just not this story that you're hearing this evening. I have personally been involved with several cases for the past 3 years where I have looked into complaints of the drug referral court system out of Jackson County, where the failed drug test that she just mentioned, folks, let me explain real quick. In the case of this young man, it is not only perhaps his allegation and the mother's allegation, but it is also my allegation that drug test was not a positive drug test. Complaints that have come out of Jackson County is that when they want to continue you on a court referral drug program, that, say, for example, you're fixing to be on your last month and you're fixing a timeout of your sentence by the judge. Well, that last drug test you're going to take, you're going to fail. It doesn't matter if you did the drugs or not. You're going to always fail because it is in the best intentions of the people who owns the drug court referral program, which is Jackson County and the judges and lawyers, that you do fail. So therefore that you will continue in the system and continue paying money. And that is what happened in this case when the young man was taken off of the probation and was because of the fines being paid. The very next time he went to take a test, he popped positive. And that is a complaint that I personally have heard from many people. So I'm going to allow the caller to come back onto the line, and I guess I would like to ask this question. a caller, we spoke several times about this case this week, and you divulged to me some information that was quite troubling, and that is the payment records that you have made payment towards this court system through a debit card, and there is allegations that the cash and debit card payments that you are providing to this system is not being recorded. In fact, if you would like to tell the story, when you went to the system and spoke to the person that you're supposed to hand that money to, if you would like to provide that person's name, please do. Why don't you tell the listeners the story of when you went to ask questions as to where your money is going and how you were treated?
I was told that I needed to take money down to the court referral community corrections facility to hurry along the process of my son to get a bed. I walk in, ask the secretary. She calls someone up front to help me. It so happened to be Mike Brown. And I ask him if we could speak in private. And we go in an office, and he asks me, "Are you recording this?" I said, "No, sir." "Are you sure you're not recording this?" Again, I said, "No, sir, I'm not." He said, "Can I see your phone?" I said, "No, you cannot see my phone." So I turned my phone off, and I said, "Does that make you feel any better?" And he said, "Sure doesn't." So he goes out of the room, leaves the door open, and as I'm waiting for him to return, see a Scottsboro City police officer come into the facility. I had no, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I wasn't worried, concerned, until the man returns in there, and he's got two sheets of paper where one was where I was paying $20 per drug test and then over $1,000 for house arrest. But there was no other records where I was paying $100 a month for monitoring. And I asked him if those were in his file, that they should be in his file, and that I have bank statements that proves that I have been paying this facility anywhere from $100 to, I had seen some that was like $300. But when I get ready to leave, Mike Brown stands in the door and is holding these pieces of paper and just shaking like he's terrified of me. And I'm like, "What is wrong with you? Are you okay?" And I said, "Trust me, I did not want to come in this hell office to begin with." So I go out and I see that the police car is parked behind, but a car width away from me. And I'm like, "Oh, my gosh, he was there for me. If I said or done anything wrong, they were going to have me arrested for being there, acting like I was going to intimidate."
So what you're saying is that when you started questioning Mike Brown, I believe is his name, about where the mints were on his part that showed the exact amount of monies that you had been paying, he became nervous and he was unable to answer your question. So did you feel that there was something going on at that moment when you point blank asked him to provide all of the documentation of the payments that had been made, as you had documentation on your behalf with the bank records, and you felt like he at that point got nervous? Didn't you mention to me that he said something to you at that point, once you caught him red-handed?
You're going to have to refresh my memory on that.
That there was some payments that you did not need to make?
Yes. Yes. That I was not supposed to, that they didn't take money there for the beds. And I said, well, why was I sent here to give you money for the bed for him to go to a rehab? And then when it came time for me to take money, that was the place that I was supposed to drop a money order or cash. You couldn't use a check or anything. It had to be money order or cash. But I know he said that they didn't take money there. And then I was told at the end that was where I was supposed to take the money. So, I mean, it's just been a roller coaster ride, emotional for everyone involved. And then now my son is away and could be up to a year. We don't know. The judge didn't get to hear the case. And there's another hearing coming up. Of course, I'm going to be there, but they're saying that they're probably not going to bring my son back for his hearing, that his attorney will be the one to represent him.
Once again, the attorney that sent him to the drug rehab clinic that he has a financial stake in, is that correct?
Yeah, he doesn't have. No, not in that one, not the one that he sent to. But he's a board member at Mountain, I think it's like a mentoring facility, something like that. But it's not the one that he's on is different. But now the investors of court referral is plainly in, you know, it's public knowledge that is the judge's. The county commissioner asked for court referral to hand over their books. They're still waiting for them to hand over 2016 books. And that was a public interview that Gary Morgan had done with the county commissioner, Tim Guffey. He's been trying to hold their feet to the fire for quite some time, but they feel like they're above the judge or anybody else, and pretty much that's how it goes. If you don't do what the court referral people do, then you're screwed. And if they know that you've got a little bit of money, you're going to stay in the system as long as they possibly can keep you in the system.
How many complaints have you heard from people that you spoke about? There was a march, and from what I understand, you were a part of that march. How many complaints are you hearing from people that has to deal with this situation in their own lives?
Oh, my. Numerous. It is unreal. You know, they talk about how, you know, they have to lose a day's work. A lot of people lose their jobs because they have to go in and do their urine test, which is not done by the chain of custody where it's supposed to be sealed. There's just a piece of paper for consent to pee in a cup. They put a lid on it, put the piece of paper and the cup with your urine in there, and a Ziploc bag, and send it off to be tested. The chain of custody is not done in the drug testing in Jackson County. And then they said that they sent it off to a different facility. Well, they own all the facility that handles the urine samples. And most of the ones that has failed a drug test, either it's diluted or it comes back amphetamines or methamphetamines. Everyone. I mean, it's very rare that you hear of one of marijuana or any other substance. It's usually a diluted or, like I say, amphetamine or methamphetamine.
By diluted, explain to the listeners what the term diluted means.
Like people that are working in construction during the summer, any hot conditions, and you drink a lot of water, and you don't have any color to your urine, that they consider that a diluted / failed test.
So even if there is no drugs found in the sample, because you are well hydrated, you are considered a failed drug test?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
With the situation as it stands with your son, what recourse do you feel that you are able to do for him? Clearly, he is now incarcerated in a rehab facility. His attorney put him there. There are no drug charges. The charges originally was speeding and then the VIN number problem with his motorcycle. Why do you feel personally that this happened to him, and what do you feel that you can do personally to rectify this situation? And the reason why I'm asking is I'd like for you to be able to present to the listeners who don't live in Jackson County, Alabama, and have to deal with this situation, what it is like to live under this oppression and corruption.
Oh, it's terminal. I mean, it's hell on earth. It is. You use your blinkers. I mean, you do everything possible not to break any laws, and sometimes, you know, you're not breaking laws, and they'll go ahead and charge you with something just to harass you. It's gotten to the point that you really don't want to get out and go anywhere and visit because of the retaliation. If you say anything, if you expose the corruption, then they're going to stay on you. And the people are losing their homes, having, you know, 2-3 families having to live under the same roof because they can't afford the drug testing and their fines and losing their jobs for missing a day's work and the cost of it driving down there. For instance, one guy was telling me, you know, I'm on my own business and having to buy 2-3 bottles of water and then a bottle of Mountain Dew to make sure that I'm not diluted, that there's some color to my urine, and haven't failed a drug test, but has had a diluted one, didn't drink something besides water. But there's not, I mean, no drug charges on this guy either. It was receiving stolen property. And he done his EOS, and because he was prescribed prescription medication after he was released from being incarcerated, they're making him go down and do urine drug test now, and he's not even on anything as far as probation. Just because he was in the system once, and they found out the doctor wrote him a prescription for pain medicine, he's now got a color that you got to get up every morning, call that number, or get on their Facebook page to see. You can't plan a day. You have to wait till after 6 o'clock in the morning to see what kind of day you're going to have, whether you've got to go down to Scottsboro and sit for hours and waiting on drug tests. Or if
has
you
there
can.
Been?
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, not all the listeners that will listen to this have even heard of Jackson County, Alabama. So, in the past, I know that there has been some corruption within the county as far as they couldn't pay their bills. Cities were going bankrupt because of the tax revenue fund, specifically when a large local nuclear plant shut down, leaving the entire county with a lack of funds due to the fact that there was no more money coming in, and so they had to scramble in this county. It's a very rural county, folks. I don't know if you know, Jackson County is in the upper right-hand corner of the state. It butts Tennessee and Georgia. It's extremely rural. It's right outside of Chattanooga. How many years has this conversation been taking place in the public and in behind closed doors where the people knew that there was something going on with this drug court referral program?
I'm going to say it's going to be for the past 18 years that things have been talking.
18 years there has been a problem. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that people have had issues with the court referral in Jackson County. And, I mean,
roughly how many years has the nuclear plant been shut down?
Oh, wow. Good question. That's a good question. It's been quite some time.
Was it in and around the time that the problem started where they needed to create revenue for the courthouse?
Yes. I would say within a few years of